The epistle for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits, to no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. If it be all possible, as much as is in you, having peace with all men. Not revenging yourself, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath. For it is written, Revenge is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. In the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 8. At that time, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, See thou tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion making answer said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled, and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And the servant was healed at that same hour. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, after the fall of Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they were no longer innocent. They no longer walked and talked with God. And so they needed some way by which they could appease God. And so God taught them the manner and how to sacrifice to him. And so we may wonder, what exactly is sacrifice? Sacrifice, you see, is the greatest form of worship to God. Now, a sacrifice is the offering of a victim of something of value, either a sheep, oxen, or some other object of value by a priest to God alone. And this object of value is destroyed in some way. For example, the lamb sacrificed would actually be killed. They would be slaughtered and then burned in flames and then eaten. And so from the beginning of man's existence, sacrifices have been offered to God. God taught Adam and Eve how to sacrifice, and Adam and Eve taught their children how to sacrifice. And we read that Abel offered sheep as sacrifice to God. And after, if we continue in the Old Testament, we read that after the great flood and after 40 days and night on the great ark, when Noah finally landed, the first thing he did was he built an altar out of stones and he offered many sacrifices to God. He sacrificed many of the animals that had been on the ark in thanksgiving to God for having spared him and his family, and no doubt to ask God for many more blessings upon his family. And sacred scripture tells us that God was pleased with Noah's sacrifice. Abraham offered sacrifices and was commanded by God to offer sacrifice, and to sacrifice not a lamb or an ox, but to take the life of his only begotten son, Isaac. And we know that God was so pleased with Abraham's obedience to this command of sacrificing his own son that God had the angel stop Abraham from carrying out this great sacrifice. And in Isaac's place, the angel told Abraham to sacrifice rather a ram to God. And even in ancient times, historians tell us that the pagans had this idea of worshiping their false gods by the destruction of something valuable, by sacrificing and offering it up to their gods. But because they did not have a knowledge of the true God, they had a distorted notion of sacrificing. And many of the ancient pagans, instead of offering animals, they would actually offer human sacrifice because it was something of value to them, something they were trying to do to appease their gods, their false gods. And thus we see how corruption enters even in the most sublime form of worship when the true God is not known. And so it was finally on Mount Sinai that God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments. God gave the chosen people also the laws and rules, so to speak, governing how priests were to offer sacrifice. And so every day before the coming of Christ, the priests of the Old Testament, on behalf of all the people, according to the law of the Old Testament, the priest would ascend the altar of the tabernacle, of the temple, dressed in vestments just as a priest dresses in vestments today. And with the sacred instruments, the knives, the priest would actually spill the blood of an innocent, pure white lamb. And he would do this to adore God, to appease God. But St. Paul says that it is impossible that sins should be taken away with the blood of bulls, of goats, the blood of sheep. The blood of all the lambs and oxen that were sacrificed in the Old Testament could not satisfy for one sin. In fact, St. Alphonsus says that the blood of all the saints in heaven could not wipe away the infinite offense done to God by sin. Because sin is an infinite offense against God. It is the offense of a creature to the Creator. And this really shows us how terrible sin is. The blood of a lamb or of an ox would not satisfy the justice of God. To wipe it away an infinite offense, something would have to be sacrificed, something perfect, something which was infinite. And this would take the sacrifice of a God-man. And God loves us so much that he gave us his own son, so that we could sacrifice him and offer him back to God to be forgiven of our sins. to sacrifice God for the offenses we committed against Almighty God. And thus on Calvary, the blood shed on the altar of the cross was of infinite value because it was God's blood. And it satisfied and it repaired our infinite offense. Now, we often hear the word sacrifice in regards to the Mass. And this is because the Mass is a true sacrifice. Just as the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings were sacrifices to God. But the Mass is of infinite value, unlike the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Because the Mass is the same sacrifice as that of the cross. At the Mass, the Son of God is sacrificed. And St. Alphonsus tells us that the sacrifice at our altar is the same sacrifice as that which was once offered on Calvary, with this difference. On Calvary, the blood of Jesus Christ, the victim, was really shed. But on the altar, it is shed in what we say in a mystical manner. In other words, the sacrifice of the cross was offered in a bloody manner by a real separation of Christ's body from his blood. But in the Mass, it is offered in an unbloody manner by a mystical separation of the body and blood of Christ. And this is accomplished by the double consecration. That is why the priest consecrates the host, the body, separately from the blood, so that there is that separation of body and blood, and so that there is that sacrifice. And thus, the Mass is not just some mere empty ceremony or some commemorative supper service. It is, as the Council of Trent infallibly defined, it is the sacrifice of Christ made present, its meaning celebrated, and its saving power applied. And thus the sacrifice of Calvary, the one supreme sacrifice, is made present truly and really in the sacrifice of the Mass, but in an unbloody manner. And if you understand and appreciate what the Mass is, then you can understand why the devil has for centuries been bent on its destruction. Through his agents, heretics such as Luther and Calvin, and in our own day, the modernist such as John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, and a host of others who have sought to substitute this sublime act, this very serious act, to substitute in its place a Protestant-like supper service. It's very startling, but it's amazing to think how successful they were. But thank God, my dear faithful, we here in this chapel still have the priesthood, and we still have the Mass. How privileged we are here in Pennsylvania to have the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We could truly say those same words of the centurion, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. But he has chosen to be sacrificed here on our altar. So let us then, my dear faithful, strive as best as we can to attend Mass devoutly, to pay attention, and to strive to think about what is really happening. During the Mass, let us pray and tell our Lord, who is truly present on our altar, that we are sorry for our sins. For during the Mass, we can satisfy for our sins. Let us, during the Mass, ask God for all those favors we need, both spiritual and those even temporal needs. Let us ask him for graces, for patience in trials, for guidance in our life, for protection over our household and our families. It is during the Mass that a father of a family can petition God to help him raise his family, to give him strength to face a work world day in and day out. It is at the Mass that mothers can ask for that grace to help them bear those little trials in life, those crosses involved in raising children and a family. We can ask Christ, through the infinite merit he gained by his sacrifice on the cross, to give us strength to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so I heartily encourage you that during the Mass, you follow and pray along in your missals. Or if this is too difficult, as it is many times, you could simply say short prayers during the Mass, talking to God, who is truly present on our altar, speaking to him with love and with humility, just as the centurion did. Lord, I am not worthy, but nevertheless I adore you. I beg you pardon for my offenses. I thank you for all that you have done for me, and I ask you to help me. And you can also say the rosary during Mass to help you think of the Passion and relate it to the Mass. In short, loving prayers, talk to our Lord. Tell him that you are grateful. And let us always do this, attend Mass in, by, and with Mary. Mary, who was present at the cross, who was present at the sacrifice of her own son. Ask her to help you pray during the holy sacrifice of the Mass. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.